"This is my chosen son. Listen to him." Very direct message from God the Father to those three apostles. I think these conventions of the movement are very much like that message. "This is my son. Listen to him." As Steve Alt mentioned this morning, these conventions can be catalysts to our Redeemed Christian mission. We come together, we pray together, we sense the Spirit among us, moving us to help the church evangelize, preach the gospel. And many of you, I know there's some new faces here. It's great to see the new faces. Some, I'm sure, are not Redeemed Christian members, right? Not card-carrying members, if you will. And you're welcome. And we're glad you're here. Hopefully, this weekend has been enriching for you and your family. It can be a little overwhelming at times, right? But it's beautiful. It's a gift that we have, and we're glad we're all here together. Sails Up. When I read that title, I asked myself, what does that imply? Sails Up. That your sails aren't up? You stop sailing? You're sitting around waiting for the wind to blow? Are you scared to sail? What's up with Sails Up? RC apostles, friends who are here among us, are you scared to sail? I think not. Maybe a little nervous, a little anxious, because we know the Spirit is preparing us for something. There's no fear to sail, to raise the sail boldly and sail into the open and deep waters of the world, of the culture. This is why Christ gave life to Redeemed Christi, that he may reign, that his kingdom may reign in the culture. And he called each of us to be part of that. He has sowed in our hearts this desire to courageously and joyfully, faithfully evangelize the deep and rough waters of the culture. To sail them. The sun is shining brightly, Jesus Christ, upon the movement. The winds are blowing our way, the Holy Spirit. And the current is strong. And it's not going to be smooth sailing. We must prepare ourselves. That's what I see this convention doing. Preparing us to sail. So what needs to happen? How do we prepare to sail in the current seas of the culture? I don't think it's a coincidence that this convention is placed by the Holy Spirit in the Lenten season. And also on the Feast of St. Patrick. Christ is calling us to a deeper, more profound experience of his love. And preparing us, as he prepared St. Patrick, to sail the mission. So the most significant theme of Lent is conversion. Repent and believe in the gospel are the words that were pronounced to us on Ash Wednesday as the priest placed the ashes on our forehead. The first Sunday of Lent, Jesus Christ being called into the desert for 40 days of fasting and prayer and sacrifice to confront Satan. source of temptation and evil desires for a mission. Abram, in the first reading, three apostles in the Transfiguration received a vision, had a deeper encounter with our Lord to prepare them for mission. Lent. I'm not sure about all of you, but I think I have a few peers out there, 35 or so, right? We've been through a few Lents, right? Kind of been there. You know, the church is brilliant, actually, right? Every year, we have 40 days to renew, to recharge the spiritual batteries and get back into battle, into mission. Beautiful weekend. However, and often, when that rolls around, we can find ourselves kind of, I'm doing a pretty good job. I'm praying, right? I'm sacrificing. Hey, I give my whole life to Christ, right? And we can begin dialoguing with ourselves and grappling with the call that Lent is. Conversion. Renewing. We grapple with that and rationalize, right? We kind of give ourselves a whole pass. You're doing just fine. You don't need to give up anything to drink or you don't need to sacrifice. You're doing just fine. That is the moment of the call. That grappling, that inner dialogue in ourselves is actually the Holy Spirit calling us. I want to love you more. Let the world go. Let the fears go. Believe in me. Respond boldly. I think Christ is calling us individually and collectively, Raymond Christie, in a new call. Within the call. A conversion of heart and mind. A new Pentecost. To have an impact. To relaunch and unleash ourselves in a new way. In a way we've never experienced before. Sailed up. You may say to yourself, well, Father, I've already converted. Kind of been there. I had my encounter. Christ came to my life one day, said, listen, follow me. And I responded. And he did. I did too. We did. However, there is such a thing as a second conversion. God's Pretty Women here in Atlanta last year. Turned 50 last year. Just to be transparent. Turned 50 last year. And the Consecrated Atlanta gave me a book titled Conversion. Guess they were sending me a message. So I delved into that, and the book is written by Father Donald Haggard, author, obviously, spiritual director, professor, in the seminary in New York, St. Joseph's, Dunwoody. And he writes on this theme, Second Conversion, and he says, a man must come to a point in life, sometime after a commitment to God is already firmly in place, in which he realizes that he has not yet fully offered his life to God. Let me repeat that. A man must come to a point in life sometime after a commitment to God is already firmly in place, in which he realizes that he has not yet fully offered his life to God. He continues. Despite what may be years of faithfulness in a vocation, a deeper offering still awaits the soul. I don't don't know how familiar you are with the story of St. Patrick. It's a good one. So in the 5th century, pagan Irish bandits, if you will, kidnapped him from the southwest of England. He was 16 years old, went to Ireland, and was sold into slavery and spent 6 years in Ireland, essentially as a shepherd and servant of the Godwin. And during those years, he turned to Christ. Profound experience with Christ, praying, reading scripture. And then 1.6 years into this, he received a call to return to England and be a priest and a monk. So he made his way back to England. And after he was a priest, years later, he had a vision. And this vision was an Irishman coming from Ireland with a bundle of letters. And he opened one of the letters, which was titled The Voice of the Irish. The voice of Patrick Langan, right? As he began to read it, he could hear the very people he served as a slave calling him back to Ireland to serve them, to preach them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so he did. Although he thought he was meant to be a monk, he sailed. Although previous missionaries had no success, only frustration out of it, he sailed. Although he would be considered a runaway slave and could be enslaved again and even put in prison, he sailed. Although his memories of Ireland were full of pain and trauma and suffering and loneliness and wounds, he sailed. It didn't matter. That's where the Lord was calling him. So that's where he went. And that's where he poured out his life for the church to build the kingdom of Christ. He sailed. I profoundly believe that the Lord is calling the Red Christian movement to sail into this culture and help the church renew it. He is preparing us to have an impact with the Holy Spirit in evangelization, the likes we have not experienced before. I think the suffering and the pain the Lord has permitted over the last 10 years has all been a preparation for this next chapter. All Christians have to pass through the crucible to a higher and more grace-filled life, just like St. Patrick. So what do we do now? What do we need to do to cut the anchor that's holding us back to sail out of safe harbor? I recommend 3 things. 1, belief. Belief that Jesus is calling me to conversion like he called St. Patrick. Belief that he wants to give me a new experience of his love. Belief that he wants me to have the joy and the enthusiasm, perhaps of my first conversion or my second conversion, despite my past sins and choices and mistakes. He wants me to have new life and new joy in the Spirit, re-strengthening my identity and vocation in Red Christian. Do I believe that? Do I believe he's calling me to that? Do I believe he's calling the entire movement to that? 2, gratitude. Christ wants to fill us with gratitude. Christ is calling us to see the last 10 years of our Red Christian life as a gift. Just as St. Patrick saw his suffering and pain as a gift. Yes. Gratitude for the cross. gratitude for having suffered, gratitude for having been purified, gratitude for being humiliated, gratitude for being embarrassed before my non-RC family and friends, gratitude for having been forgiven, gratitude for perseverance. If we have not begun to see this suffering, humiliation, and perseverance as a gift, we're probably not experiencing the joy and the new freedom that comes only from Jesus Christ. Gratitude opens the heart to Jesus' joy and gives us the desire to share the gift. Three, witness. St. Patrick responded boldly to the call of Jesus Christ. He was willing to give witness despite not knowing the future. He was emboldened to respond to the aggressive culture of the Irish. He was asked to change directions, to convert, to turn about and sail to an unknown future. He was excited. There was a dynamism in his heart that only boldness would respond to. The sun was shining, the wind was blowing. Most of his friends must have thought he was crazy. He gave witness to the power of prayer and openness of the Holy Spirit. St. Patrick, one man, one response, one surrender, not only transformed Ireland, impacted Western civilization. Ireland would go on to send missionaries throughout the world because of one man's bold response to the Holy Spirit, totally changing direction in his life. Maybe the Holy Spirit isn't calling us to make radical redirection in our life, but He is calling us to a new way of thinking and a boldness to form apostles for the culture today. Archbishop yesterday, valuing the role of the laity in a new way. Provincials of religious orders, bishops, they're all seeing the power of the lady. When I speak to them, I'm like, oh, God, I've been there for the last 20 years, don't I? The church needs you. Needs us. As a movement and as a family. It's no coincidence that the beauty of us being here together, lay people, the consecrated, the legionaries, we're a microcosm of the church. In a very beautiful way. Our ability to help the church evangelize as that microcosm can be a means of modeling the church, modeling the way of evangelization, each having their call, each responding to Christ according to their particular vocation, their inspiration, all sharing the same spirituality, Christ-centered spirituality, communing together in team and community, and launching ourselves into mission together. The uniqueness of that is unseen. The church has renewed us to help her renew herself. In the humble, simple, generous, unconditional way, we are at a privileged moment in the church to form apostles, Christian leaders, for parishes, for schools, for institutions, throughout this country. The movement is present in 49 dioceses. Okay? We have 26 localities across this country, North America, including Canada. 26 localities touching 49 dioceses, forming apostles and leaders in all 49. There's 200 plus dioceses in the U.S. Why aren't we in all of them? Why can't those 26 localities, lay people especially, be launched in all those dioceses? With the internet, the media, the potential is beyond us. We have the capacity. Atlanta alone has the capacity. The very format is, as Steve Austin was saying this morning, the power of this locality is immense. We have 23 legionaries living here. We have 18 or so consecrated living here. We're all not local, right? 400 plus women in the movement, 200 plus men, 20 men's teams, 40 women's teams. It's incredible. Atlanta needs to be a nation. Infuse the spirit throughout this country. There's a call here. The Lord is calling all of us, all together. That's the beauty of this. It's just not the priests alone, the consecrated, all of us. And I think this convention is a catalyst to that. Believe in that. Let's be grateful. And give witness to that. Sails up.